right, take your Bibles this evening and turn in them to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Thank you, teenage ladies, for that song. If you keep your heart in His keeping, and truly mean that, I know the Lord will bless you greatly for that. I am wearing my American flag tie, and I appreciate those of you who have served in our country, served for our country, and certainly appreciate that. I was in a McDonald's about 2-3 years ago, candy selling, because you go in McDonald's a lot during candy sale, right, kids? And older fella, obviously a very older man, was in there, and he had a hat on that said something, you know, about the military. And so I asked him if he, you know, when he served, and he said, "I'm one of the few that's left that served in World War II." And so that was a real privilege to meet him. But anyway, so that was a blessing to meet him, but I appreciate those of you that have served our country. And so I'm glad to be here tonight with a bunch of adults after spending the last 2 weeks in camp. And there's not a lot of very sane conversation back and forth that goes on in camp. And so every evening I know I meet some of you adults, or I go in the office and whatever, and anybody I meet, I just want to talk, you know, because I need some conversation with some people that makes some sense, you know. But it is good to be here with you tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'm looking forward to, I've had this thought in my mind for quite a while, and I'll tell you at the end of my message tonight, I'll tell you kind of how this thought came into my, what really was the catalyst that brought this thought to me. And so, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to start in verse number 1, and we'll read down through verse number 10. All right, so, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this," that is, in this tabernacle, "we groan." The older I get, the truer that verse gets. "Earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon." We're looking for that eternal garment that we'll wear and will be clothed with in heaven, the eternal life, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. "Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." So you get the idea here. Paul is ready to get that eternal garment. He's looking forward to that day. "However," verse 6, "therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." So in other words, I haven't gotten there yet. I'm still at home in this body, in this tabernacle. I haven't gotten to that next level yet. "For we walk by faith, not by sight." So I'm still walking by faith in this life. I'm still in this tabernacle. "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." I can't wait to get there. Verse 9, this is really the crux of the message. "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him." I want to be accepted of Him. I want God to approve of what I'm doing in this time that I have in this tabernacle. Verse number 10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." So in this life, I'm laboring that I might be accepted of him, approved by him when I stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ someday. So let's pray and we'll get this message going. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity I have to open your word tonight and share it with all my friends about what you've given to me. I pray that you'd help us not to grow weary of this tabernacle, but to realize this is our opportunity. This is the time that you've given us to set our lives in order, to make sure that we're ready to stand before you. And Lord, what a great, great blessing that is if we can come to the end of our life like the Apostle Paul did and know that when he stands before you, you're going to say, well done. And Lord, I pray that you'd help that just to be our goal. May we look for your approval tonight and make this a part of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I know that my children, my family, I know that when children are right, they look for dad's approval. They look for mom's approval. They want to know that what they're doing is the right thing to do. Every so often, my girls start to make some food, and they're waiting, I can tell, on a compliment. What does it taste like, Dad? Is the cake good? For Father's Day a few weeks ago, they made or helped make, I think mostly made, a cake. And I finally finished it off last night just to make sure, but it was great. It was very good. So the compliments, they're looking for a compliment. They're looking for approval if they're right. But a child who's in rebellion, a child who says, I'm going to do whatever I want, they're most definitely not going to be looking for approval. And I would say in our life as a Christian, if you're not looking for God's approval, then you're missing out on the purpose, the real purpose of life. So there's nothing wrong with us seeking God's approval tonight. I'm going to give you a few thoughts and then I'll give you a longer list of things. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 10, I'll just summarize it. You were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And then verse 10 says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, or trying, testing what is acceptable unto the Lord. So, what is God pleased with? What makes God pleased? I know in our lives, there's many things that please me. I love skiing. I love speed. No comment from the candy sellers, right? I just like speed. I love going down a slope fast. You know, there's friends of mine, when I go skiing, they're like, let's go as fast as we can. I'm like, yeah, let's go. And I just enjoy that. That brings me a thrill. Some of you, the couch brings you a thrill. The pleasure of sitting down. I've never jumped out of an airplane, but I can most definitely imagine that that would be a very pleasurable, exciting thing to do. Playing sports, or some of you reading a good book, brings you great pleasure. So what might be pleasure to one person might be a pain to another. Last Friday night, we had the picnic, and the kids were diving on their bellies going down a hill over and over again. And it was cold water. That doesn't sound fun to me at all. But what might be terrific might be a torture for somebody else. You know, we ought to ask ourselves, what does God, our Creator, our Savior, what does He delight in? And if He delights in it, then that should be my goal, my purpose in life, is to bring pleasure to God, my Creator, and my Savior. Hebrews chapter 11 is the hall of faith, and it really is about a bunch of people who in their lives, they by faith, figured out that we live here on this earth to bring pleasure to God. Now, there was many blessings that they got by their faith. Enoch, of course, he got to go to heaven early, never died, and many others. But by faith, they wanted to please God, their creator and their savior. I love Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so by faith, they just believe those things. They believe that he is the creator, believe that he is their Lord and Savior. And then they believe that he will do what he said he'll do. Yeah, he made us, and that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. So that's our purpose in life, is to seek after him and to say, what does God like? What pleases God? The more you get to know somebody, the more you find out what pleases them, right? My wife could tell you that there are certain things that I do not like, certain kinds of food, certain kinds of actions and whatever. There's uncooked potatoes that end up in a potato dish. Ooh, can't stand them. Hard, you know, your crunchy potato. It's always that one crunchy potato in the pan that I end up getting, it seems like, you know. But there's other things, of course, I know that she really likes. If I want to weigh into her heart, it's seafood. Amen. All right, not too many. It's the seas, you know, chocolate and cheese and so on. She loves those. I know what brings her pleasure. And on her nightstand, you know, next to her devotion chair where she sits, I noticed the other day that there's all kinds of special leftover chocolate wrappers and things, you know. Lint chocolate and other things. Great pleasure. What is that a result of? That's an easy one. I know exactly what it takes to please her because of getting to know her. The more you get to know somebody, the more you know what pleases them or what displeases them. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me." This is God speaking. "That I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth." You want to glory in something? Glory in what brings God pleasure. And then it says, "For in these things I delight." Oh boy, there's a nice little list. We know that God delights in righteousness, judgment, and loving kindness. So there's something God is interested in. He enjoys these things. You know, another way that we know what God likes, we know that because it's based on getting to know him, but it's also based on Jesus and what Jesus did for his father. Jesus' example of bringing pleasure to his father is an example that we can emulate. John chapter 8, verse 29, the Bible says there, Jesus speaking, "He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." So Jesus brought pleasure to God, his Father. I've always been impressed with the idea that Jesus is the revelation of God the Father. You want to know who God is? Look at Jesus. They're the same person. I and my Father are one. Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Now, what did Jesus take pleasure in? He took pleasure in the disciples obeying him. He got irritated when the disciples, you know, didn't, you know, try to go against his plan to go to Jerusalem and other things. Jesus, if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. So what should we do? We should deliberately decide that we're going to please God. So I kind of did a subject index. You ever go to the back of a book and you're looking for a specific subject and or a word? And so that word index, you kind of go through and find. Well, I just went through the Bible. I said, look, if I need to know what God is pleased with, what brings God glory, the Bible is full of mentions of things that bring God great pleasure. And I want my Father to be pleased. I want God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So we can easily just look and see what brings God great pleasure. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. I'll just give you the last verse of that. The Bible says that he wants to make us perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. So God wants to work in us that which brings him glory, that which brings him pleasure. And so that's what we should seek to do. Bring pleasure to God. So I think there's a false idea, a very wrong idea in a lot of Christian circles today, where they say, look, God knows my heart, I love Jesus, and I may not look like everybody else, all the other Christians, or I may not act like all the other Christians, but God knows me, and he knows that I love him, and he cares. They're completely wrong. Listen, our lives, our actions, our everything about our lives is designed to bring glory to God. We were talking about this morning in camp in our devotions about David and the idea that God said he looks on the heart. It does not say that God doesn't look on the outward appearance. I mean, obviously, just a couple verses later, God says, David, he's ruddy and of a beautiful countenance. He looks at the outward appearance, but God goes beyond just the outward appearance. He looks at the heart, and he sees, he of course knows the heart. He knows your heart and mine, and he knows if our heart is truly trying to bring pleasure to God. So forget this idea that what I do doesn't matter. It's just who I really am. You know, God knows me. God knows my heart. So what can we do to please God? I made a list of things here that give God pleasure in the Bible. I hope that you'll trust me as I give these verses. I'd rather not turn to all these passages. I have most of them written down here in my notes. So some instructions on how to please God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 mentions Enoch. Enoch is mentioned 9 different times in the Bible, and literally from beginning to end. 6 in Genesis, 1 in Luke, 1 in Jude, and then once in Hebrews. And of course, the Bible says about Enoch that he had a testimony. Isn't it good to have a good testimony? I hope that we, not just for our own sake, but we strive for a good testimony because that testimony brings glory to God. There's nothing wrong with having a good testimony and protecting a good name, but we mess that up, but God can do that through us. And Enoch, the Bible says he had this testimony that he pleased God. If there's anything you knew about Enoch walked with God, and he pleased God, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 5. So how can we please God? I'll give you several things. First, if we desire to please God, we're going to obey him. We're going to obey him. Obedience is a part of pleasing. God delights in obedience. Who's the example? Saul and Samuel. Saul comes back with the sheep and the oxen, and Samuel says, what are you doing? Why didn't you obey? And Saul says, look, I brought all these things, but I obeyed the voice of the Lord. And of course, Samuel says, then what's the sheep? What's the bleeding? And then makes this statement, verse 22, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. God takes delight in obedience. He's interested in our obedience. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Kids, wouldn't that be great? Anything you ask of your parents, you receive of them. You say, well, that doesn't happen to me. I'll read the rest of the verse and I'll tell you why. Because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, that's not a selfish request. That's a sincere prayer request. We can come to God if we're obeying his commandments and doing the things that are pleasing in his sight. God wants us to come to him and ask. And he wants to give us. And he's a perfect father. Thank the Lord for that. He's not like us. He's the perfect father and wants to give us the answers to our requests. But we have to obey. That brings him great pleasure. You know what else brings him pleasure? When we trust him, when we depend on him. Hebrews 11, 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe. The idea of believe is the idea of trusting in him. That he is, and he'll do what he says he said he would do. How offensive would that be if my children went to down the road from my house, if they went over to the Reinhardts and they said, look, can we please have something to eat? And we would look at them and say, what are you talking about? Yeah, but I don't like the food in your house. Or there wasn't enough food. I just didn't think there was any food I liked at home. So I just went somewhere else. Well, that would be offensive. If they went over to the Yum's house and they said, look, we like some of that Asian food. Wait a second, that's not right. We have good food. We'd be offended. Because what's the problem? They're not trusting in our provision, what we have provided. And I'm afraid I do that with the Lord. I get my own, I'll get my provision somewhere else. I'll go somewhere else and find my happiness and my purpose in life instead of seeking day by day, what do you want for me today? Pleasing God, trusting God brings him great pleasure. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Trust him for everything. You know what? You can also please God by praising and worshiping him. Here's my praise and worship. I'll only read one passage, but my goodness, the book of Psalms is full of passages where David says, praise the Lord. Here's a kind of obscure one, Psalm 69, verse 30. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. And he delights when we just praise him. I'm guilty, just like I'm sure many of you are. It seems like my prayers are asking. And God wants to answer our prayer, but he wants us to praise him. Book of Psalms. This also, the next verse, this also shall please the Lord to praise his name in a song. It pleases the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. He's more interested in us singing a song of praise than to bring horns and hoofs to him. Well, what's a horn and a hoof? In our day and age, it's our sacrifice, our giving. For us to bring, and we should, and it doesn't mean that they weren't supposed to bring horns and hoofs, but for us to not, you know, to bring our money or to bring our time or to bring our work, our labors, and to not praise him, God says, I'd rather have your praise than horns and hoofs, than just a sacrifice. And of course, that's not negated, but he wants the praise as well. prayers of thanksgiving, praising God's attributes. I preached this week in camp, Deuteronomy 6:4, the Lord our God is one Lord. And man, that's just the power, that's the Trinity. The Lord our God is, that's the eternal nature of God. We learn many great attributes just in those simple little words. Do we praise God for his attributes? Recognize his work. Another thing that brings pleasure to God, if we desire to please him, we should proclaim God. We should talk about the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. When we preach, when you preach, and it's not just behind the pulpit, it's the Bible says we're to preach the gospel to every creature, and everybody's involved in that. And as we're preaching the gospel, that brings pleasure to the Lord. It's music to his ears. He loves to hear us proclaiming his name. I believe we should defend his name. Speak up for his name. I've heard, a lot of children using the Lord's name in vain. I always try to, if you're not talking about the Lord respectfully, don't say his name. If you're not going to pray to him and just use his name in vain, don't say it. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them. Here's another thing that pleases God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. But Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20 has a parallel to that. And this is one verse I didn't write down. But Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20, the Bible says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Boy, the Lord is happy. He notices. He notices when you obey your parents and show respect to them. Your behavior and your willingness to obey can bring joy to them or be a terrible nightmare to them. Submission to parents, children, is so important. Not just stubborn obedience, but a willing obedience, a submission. That is translated into submission to God. If you learn obedience at a young age, that'll be translated, it should be translated into obedience to God. And your testimony, children, even a child is known by his doings. So obey, and that brings pleasure to the Lord. Man, as I think of things that please me in my life, God is pleased when my children are in obedience. Man, when we have children around here who are obedient to the Lord, boy, I believe that'll translate into children someday going into the ministry, someday going around the world, someday going on from their childhood to serve the Lord. And that's what we need. That's what we want. That's what I want. Children, the next time your parents seem unreasonable, take time to consider that. It still pleases the Lord when you obey your parents. You know, another thing that brings pleasure to the Lord is to live like a Christian should. Do's and don'ts. We all like the do's and don'ts, don't we? I always tease the kids in camp. Rules, my favorite time of the week. And then I quickly back off and say, wait, it's lunchtime. But rules, no, it's not rules when we're pleasing the Lord. I mean, my wife could say, man, in our house, it's a bunch of rules. I mean, I have to stay with my husband. I have to cook and clean. And I have to. Well, you know that when there's love, when there's commitment, that's not a job. I'm not saying it's always fun to throw laundry in the washer. But I am saying it's done in love, and that commitment is a part of life. That's just what you, and it brings pleasure at times. But it does. It's a part of the life that we get to live. Wonderful life. Love being married and having a family and all those things that go with it. Chores and all those good things. That's just a part of life that brings great pleasure. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You can turn there because we'll look at a few verses here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And verse number 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk, this is what you ought to do, and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. I'm afraid that too many of us, we hear that ought to walk, and we say, oh, great, here goes again. Wait a second, back up. This is what pleases God. I'm tired of people saying, well, what you live like doesn't matter. It's just all in your heart. No, no, no. This is how ye ought to walk because it brings pleasure to God. Look at the next several verses, verse 3. For this is the will of God. What's God's will? His will is what brings him pleasure. He wants us to live a certain way. Abstain from fornication. You better abstain from fornication. It's everywhere around us. I get it. But somehow we're supposed to abstain from fornication. Looking at it. Participating in it. Abstain from fornication. The Bible also tells us in verse number 6. Sorry, verse number six. Not to be dishonest or cheat others. Don't defraud your brother. Verse 7 says to be holy. Verse 8 says to receive correction with a good spirit. You better not despise man. But you're despising God if you despise man who hath given unto us his Holy Spirit. Receive correction with a good spirit. Verses 9 and 10, you ought to love others. As touching brotherly love, ye ought. Sorry, ye need not. I can't read my own writing here. Ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another, and indeed ye do. Brethren, the Bible uses that term a lot. We ought to love one another. And help one another. Verse 11 kind of gives us the opposite, the other side of that equation. Mind your own business sometimes. And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. I know it's easy to get caught up in everybody's business, but there's times where we ought to just say, you know what? What about my life? I'm often reminded of what Jesus told Peter. In John chapter 21, Peter said, Jesus, what's going to happen to John? And Jesus said, what is that to thee? Follow thou me and making sure that he's on the right path. But these things bring pleasure to God when we're living like a Christian should. You know what else brings pleasure to God? By sharing Christ with others. I'd like for you to look in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Love this passage. And many of you do what Matthew 25 tells us to do. And I think it's good for us to point this out. Verse number 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we? And they list all these things off. When did that happen? I don't remember doing that. Verse 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Man, he is pleased when we visit the sick and the elderly and those who can never pay us back. I love to see the children off of our bus routes being in camp, and they'll never pay this back. You know, all the help that many of you are to them and financially putting money out to make this happen, they'll never pay that back. But the Bible says this brings pleasure to God, and someday he will recompense you. He notices it. He sees it. And with our bus routes and with our prison ministries and on, the nursing homes and the Jolly 60s, all of these things are about sharing Christ with others. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16 says, but to do good and to communicate. Now, us men, we're not the great communicators necessarily often. But that word here, communicate, isn't talking about speaking to your wife or to your husband. It's talking about sharing or giving, generosity, contributing. Paul told the Philippian church, you communicated unto me once and again in my necessity. They communicated with him and gave to him. God notices those things. And it brings him pleasure to notice those things. So, Enoch, a man of faith. Enoch walked with God, and it brought great pleasure to God. It pleased the Lord the way Enoch lived. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, the Bible says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. God has a personality that loves to be pleased. His will goes along with that. May God help us to be well-pleasing. And here's really the whole crux of where I got this thought. I mean, obviously it's all scripture, but a few weeks ago, I was walking my dog, Bella. And our dog is pretty high strung. She's not as high strung as Tim and Rachel's dog, but she is high strung. And man, she'd be walking along with us, and just in the blink of an eye, I don't even see it, but there must be a squirrel or something in a tree, and zoom, there she goes. And I noticed something. If I'm walking down past the Reinhardt's house, my dog wants to go and play with the dog, Henry, and what's the other dog, Tessa. I've noticed if I can keep her attention with just talking to the dog and giving orders and instructions, stay, you know, over and over and over, and especially if I have treats, man, it's easy to keep her attention. Man, I got her attention. And we can walk right on by those other dogs, and she's glued to me. I've seen videos of well-trained dogs, not my dog, well-trained dogs. And man, they're just looking at their owner, their master, at his every command, waiting to please him. I thought, wait a second. Why can't we live like that as Christians? We have God who has created us, who saved us. He's our master. He's a wonderful master. He's not hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. He's not hard. His burden is light compared to the world's burden. And we're walking along with our master. And why can't we just be focused on his will? What does the master want? What brings pleasure to him? And unfortunately, too often, we're just like my dumb dog. Just that quick, our attention is gone. Just that quick, we're drawn away to the cares of this world. And, you know, whatever happens, a pretty girl walks by and a young man just is glued instantly. What happens when our master has everything we could possibly truly want, and yet we're not looking for what pleases him? We're trying to please ourselves, and our eyes are not on the master, and we're just, and that quick we leave him. We run away. We find our own pleasure rather than finding the pleasure of our master. And the burden is on me. I've really just been thinking about this. God wants us to live a wonderful life, but that wonderful life only comes by pleasing him, by bringing him pleasure. And everything we do, the money we make, the jobs that we have, the children that we raise, the family, the style of how we run our family, all of that should be there to bring glory and pleasure to God. And he then in turn can take us along just like a well-trained dog and give us all those benefits that come with that. Nobody likes a dog who always runs away and is just a wild, crazy animal. But a dog who's well-trained and waiting on every command of the master, boy, you learn to appreciate that. And that's how we should be with our master, with our creator. May God help us to allow him to work in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Who are you most concerned about? Is it the will of God or your own will? I think this is a great perspective message. What's your perspective on life? Every perspective should be about what's pleasing to him. When I'm working throughout the day, it ought to be about what pleases God. Not to be about me. It ought not to be about my plans. It ought to be about what pleases God. May we learn to be well-pleasing in his sight. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed.